everyone. This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar in Nashville, Tennessee at the Exit Inn. I'm here with Spencer from Alas. Spencer, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Spencer, as you can see, is bass player of the band. So talk to us about, I'm assuming this is your number one, the main ride?
Yeah, this is a bass I just got recently. It's a late 60s Clara bass, which is a German manufacturer kind of around the same time as like Hofner or okay. Famous. And it has like a pickup selector and then like a tone selector and an off switch. And
where'd you pick it up at? And was it something you're kind of after, or is it like you walked into the store, saw it on the wall, and kind of spoke to you?
Yeah, there's a guitar shop in Los Angeles called Caveman Vintage, and they had it. They posted a photo of it, and then I came in and tried it out, and I really liked it. So
cool.
Yeah, it's light and has a few different cool settings.
Do you use a tone knob at all? Changing between?
I usually stay on one, and then there's like a pickup selector.
Okay.
I usually kind of have found a sweet spot with it that I like to play.
And are you using round rounds, flat rounds for strings?
I use flat round strings.
And gauges and brand?
I usually just kind of use D'Addario.
Okay. And any random or any specific gauge that you use?
Just medium gauge.
Gotcha. And picks, or do you use fingers or switch in between?
I use picks. So.
And talk to me about your amp.
So this amp is the head is an Ampeg. It's actually a 4-channel reinforcement system. I think it's supposed to be used for a PA head, but it's a solid state thing that we picked up to use for a PA that we were working with, and it ended up having a problem with it, and so we got it fixed, and then it just kind of sat around, and I started using it for bass. And it works really nice. It has a good sound. It also has 4 different inputs in case one breaks.
Damn.
And it has reverb, which is... So it's just...
That's nice.
It can go pretty loudly.
So. Yeah, it's boomy.
But I usually just kind of... keep it minimal.
Have you used any Ampeg stuff prior to this one? Like more stuff that maybe people are familiar with, like SVT? I'm just curious as what you would think.
Yeah, I've used like SVTs and then the V4Bs,
okay.
The silver face ones.
How do you feel like this fits in that family tonally-wise?
It's very different. I mean, this isn't a bass head. It's a PA speaker head, so it kind of just delivers the tone of the bass more than anything.
It just stays out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And speaker cab, do you do anything special there? Are there 10-inch speakers, 15?
I think it's from the 90s. I think at one point it was in David Lee Roth's army.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's a 15 and a 10. So.
All right.
Two different speakers. And I've had to replace them both.
Because you probably had to do it?
Just because, yeah, they blew out. So yeah, and then
what's your secret weapon here on the floor?
That's a fuzz pedal. It's a MJM London fuzz. I got it secondhand, and the shop that I got it from, the guy who had it sandblasted it because he didn't like people to see what pedals he was using.
Gotcha.
So.
And ooh.
It only works sometimes.
Maybe that's why I sandblasted it.
It doesn't sound like it's working that well today. Yeah, so I don't use it all the time.
I see why. I want to go back to the bass real quick. Is there anything that you did to this to get it up and running, or maybe have it a little more to your playing style or likability?
When I picked it up, it actually wasn't well intonated, but I had someone set it up in Los Angeles who did a really great job. And I would say his name, but I'd be afraid that too many people would book him up. So.
And I'm guessing, do you maybe even know like the wood core that it is? Because obviously the outside is...
Yeah, it's... some people think it's hollow, but I think it's just a really light wood. It's because it's super light.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, it's under 3 or 4 pounds.
Yeah.
Saves the back. You don't have to worry about having any back issues.
And it's easy to carry around.
Excellent. Spencer, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We'll get in the rest of the guys a band.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, we're over here on the guitar side of things now. Pedram, how are you doing?
Doing good.
All right, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us about your gear.
Sure.
It's not very substantive, but it is still very important. So talk to us about your guitar you got on your shoulder.
This is a Gibson Firebird.
What year?
It's mid-60s. I'm not sure exactly what year.
Okay. Well, how did you get to come to own it?
When we signed with a new label and they gave us some, like, an allowance, I guess.
Yeah.
And I got it with that.
Is it something you always wanted? Like a fire, you always like gravitated towards Firebird?
Well, I had a Jaguar. I still have a Jaguar, but I mostly play this now.
What do you like over this, over the Jaguar?
I think the tone's a bit different. It's less surfy, I guess.
Okay.
And a little more versatile, I think.
Did you put the cat on there, or is that?
I did.
And for strings, what do you use? String gauge or brand?
Use 11s. Ernie Ball.
All right. Like the Slinkies, the pink pack?
I think it's the purple pack.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm sure all the people out there will know what that is.
Purple.
And anything you've done to the guitar since you've owned it? Like mod, pickups, wiring?
It's just the way it is. I haven't changed anything.
Right on.
Yeah.
So what about the amp that I'm standing in front of? What's this bad boy?
I've had the amp for a long time. The reverb on this is unlike any other twin I've played. It's really dense and heavy, and
you guys are pretty reverb heavy band.
Yeah, we are.
Which I dig. Never enough. As John Bollinger would say, it's like Tabasco can go on anything.
That's right. Sometimes it makes this buzzing sound. It just started out of nowhere. Yeah, that's a good amp. I've had it for a while.
You normally play out of the vibrato circuit versus the normal?
Pretty much always.
Yeah. And I want to learn about this guy, if you don't mind me picking it up.
The Murph.
Tell me about the Murph.
I got that at True Tone Music in Santa Monica. And it's I think they made it in the San Fernando Valley in the mid-60s. I think they got sued out of business because of the, maybe it's the tuners or the body shape is kind of like a Jaguar and the tuners are like a Rickenbacker.
Yeah.
So they ran into some like design issues and the company called it quits after a few years. It's like a small family-run business.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured when I heard you guys' music, I figured there would be a Rickenbacker one way or another, and although it's not, it's a Murph, but it definitely has that vibe, and 12 strings for sure.
I played Rickenbackers too. I think this is a bit easier to play for
Why
whatever
do you think
reason.
That? Just,
I don't know.
You and the Murph are bonding.
We bonded.
What do you use for pedals?
I have this fuzz pedal, which is really cool because you can compress it a lot, so it sounds really ugly.
Yeah, I don't know what ugly would sound like because it's a visual, but that's definitely ugly.
Isn't it?
But it's gnarly in the best way possible.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have it's like a Echoplex simulator.
All right.
Like a tape echo. This one's cool because you can change this, which makes like the anomalies in the tape in an Echoplex. You can make it so you can kind of repeat in a reliable way. It gives it like a tape warble, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. And that's from Kettle and Bread, right? That bell?
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is a tuner. I mostly play like clean with some reverb, and I use these every now and now and then in the song if it needs it.
To really embellish that, like space surf.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Cool.
Patron, thank you very much, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We're here with the third final member. Well, not the final member, but the third member of this segment, Miles. Miles, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us and specifically talk to me about this Gibson.
Happy to. This is 1959 ES-125 T. Stands for turbo, or maybe it's thin line. I don't know.
I like the idea of being a turbo.
But yeah, this is I've had this guitar for it's on the last couple records. I had an acoustic and LR3 that I used on the first record.
Is it on the new one that just dropped Friday, Calico?
Yes, exactly. Cool. Yeah, exactly. And you know, after going from acoustic on stage, I wanted something that had a little more signal and a little more energy, but still had the kind of that kind of hollow sound. And I think this kind of is a nice balance of the two.
A little more turbo,
yeah,
if you will.
A little more turbo.
And how did you come to get it?
I saw it in this shop in Mar Vista, California, called Time Warp Music. And I was living over there at the time, and it was outside my price range. And then I went in, like, I would go in there from time to time, and he dropped it considerably, and borrowed some money from my folks at the time, and purchased it, and then went on the first tour with it, and was able to pay him back when I got back. So
it's cool, mom out. And dad.
Yeah, it was nice.
Rad. And is there anything you've done to it to make it your own instrument, or any mods or anything you had to fix?
Just a whole bunch of dings and scratches and whatnot, but no, nothing that not everything is original on this thing. When I bought it, it was mint. I got this guy Dave Neely in Los Angeles who set it up, and he said that it looked like it had barely been played since it was made. So
got it. Looks a little different condition than that now.
Yeah. Yeah, rightfully so.
Which is good, though. That's, yeah. Instruments are meant to be played.
I agree. Speaking it's not of, by other people.
Yeah, right. Unless it's theirs.
Yeah.
Still, talk to me about the Twin Reverb here. It looks like it's gone to hell and back.
Yeah, it's kind of ratty now. This thing I traded for a Hot Rod DeVille 4x10 to some kid in the Valley, maybe 6 or 7, no, even longer, maybe 2007. 9 years ago, and it's got this like, looks like an aftermarket faceplate or something, because it's not pre-CBS, not a black face. It's from the 70s, but it's always got a really unique tone. Any twin that I've ever played sounds different, and this one I just grew to like a lot. We do have we put, I think in both of them, three spring tanks in there. And we got a guy in LA, this guy Andy, works over at a place called Revamp, and he puts in what he describes as like something to give it, basically gives the reverb a little turbo, a little juice. I don't know if he changes out a capacitor or a tube or something, but ends up with a really crazy long and deep reverb. So I rarely go above 5, but it's
pretty lush.
Goes to 11, yeah.
And are these the amps that you guys would record with too?
Yeah, these are the amps we've recorded with. These are like the two main amps we for some overdubs or some, like, you know, some lead stuff, or we might switch it up, but these are kind of the two workhorses.
Gotcha. Yeah, because in the records you guys have, it's definitely reverb and then some.
Oh yeah,
which is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have you done anything to it? Have you switched out speakers?
No, the speakers are original. The only thing is the reverb tank and whatever Andy does over there with the turbo.
Gotcha. And I wanted to ask about this, and hopefully you can. I'm familiar with, you know, SM51 or 57s, 51s.
Yeah.
57s and Royer 121s. That's what we use for our recordings.
Yeah.
Talk to me about these microphones you guys got. They
so look beautiful. These are copper tone. Or a copper phone microphones. They're built by the bassist of the Polyphonic Spree. He's been making mics for a little while now. And actually, it was Chris who turned us on to him, Chris, our sound man. And he's been bringing him on tour with us for the past few years. And just kind of an interesting, just different tone than anything else around there.
Do you know what type of like pattern it is, or what type of like a classification the microphone would be in? Like a cardioid?
It's going to be standard full range dynamic microphones.
It's excellent.
Picks up all that sound.
And I want to talk about your pedal board, but you don't have one, but you do have two pedals.
The stage is my pedal board. Yeah, I just got two here. For the longest time, I only had the tuner. On the last record, I play some lead stuff, so I just need kind of a little top end boost, which is what this Kentor is good for.
Clever man there, Kentor, yeah. Centaur.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I bought it at this spot, Caveman Music in Los Angeles as well. I just went in there and told them what I needed, and they showed me a few different pedals and really recommended this one, and I liked it. It's got, it's a really clean boost. It doesn't color the sound too much, just picks up a lot of the highs. And you know, when I'm like getting ready to melt some faces, I need to kick that thing on and you know, shred away.
And you didn't have to ask mom and dad for money, because you know, the a Klon would be like $2,000 or $3,000.
Yeah, right.
So yeah.
No, not anymore.
Good.
Not anymore.
Good deal. Miles, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for
coming
and talk to us.
My
Check
pleasure.
Out the band, guys. Album just dropped, Calico Review. It's Friday. I guess it would be September 9th. Chris Keys, Premier Guitar, Rig Rundown.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.